Paul apparently was able to go into heaven. He couldn't tell whether he was in the body or whether he was out of the body, but he knew his soul went there, and he saw things that he was not allowed to speak of. He needed that. They needed to have angels appear to them. They needed to have the Lord appear on the Mount of Transfiguration to them, because they had a mission and they had a goal that they needed to absolutely know, that what they had believed by faith in awaiting the Messiah and then being baptized by John in anticipation of his coming, they needed a special strength to get through what they had to go through. What they went through was really quite terrible from a physical standpoint. And if the records are true, they all died deaths that were not all that pleasant, at least most of them. Now, I like the idea that, you know, if I had just walked with Jesus, you know, if you had seen the miracles, if you had seen the water turned into wine at Cana, which is an absolute physical impossibility. God had to set aside all his rules to do it. If I could just have seen him raised from the dead, if I had been to the tomb, if I had seen him in the upper room, if I had been on the Emmaus Road and watched him disappear, my faith would be a lot stronger. Well, I have to agree with you. It would. But the Lord said something, and you hear me use this scripture all the time. And many times I know you get tired of the repetition. But I pick out scriptures that have tremendous depth and meaning that can be a blessing in our lives. And my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, is John 6, 62, 63. He told the disciples who had walked with him, he said, what an if you shall see me ascend above where I was before? He said, what's going to happen if all of a sudden you don't see me anymore and I'm gone and I ascend above? And then he said something that we ought to carry in our hearts all the time. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. He said, it's my Spirit, my Father's Spirit, that quickens, that makes alive the hearing of my word. That's what's alive. And he said, it is the Spirit that quickens. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, they walked with him all that time. The flesh, our flesh, would love to see Jesus. We'd love to have walked with him. We'd love to have heard him, both in soul and in spirit. And we would have loved to see him resurrected from the dead. We would have loved to see him ascend into heaven. Our flesh wants that. Very much. It is the Spirit that quickens. Flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. He said, when I'm gone, you and all those that follow you, to whom you're witnesses, he said, you're going to have to realize that it was my presence with you, in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, that's what quickens you. That's why you like my word. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, he had just said a whole bunch of spiritual things to a bunch of people. Performed miracles before them. Made bread. Fed a multitude with two fishes, with two loaves, two fish and a few loaves. I don't remember how many. And he had fed a great multitude. And immediately they started wanting the things of the flesh. How do we do this, Lord? Well, when he told them in spiritual terms they had to partake of him spiritually, he was that bread and that water. Many of them went by. It says many of his disciples, and it used the word disciples, followers, went back and followed him no more. And he turned around to those other disciples that had stayed with him. Immediately after, he made the statement, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He said, will you also go away? Peter gave the answer that is the reason I stay in the ministry. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Now, That's why I do what I do the way I do it. I put it on screen, and I teach directly from it in Sunday school, because these are words of life. And if these are what keep you coming to this church, and if the attraction that you have is understanding this Word of God, you're on the right wavelength. You don't need me. I'm just a little short, fat, dumpy nerd. But what you need is the Word of God. But you know, God uses little short, fat, dumpy nerds if they realize what they are, and if they want to follow His teaching and present His Word to His people, because this is what we live and thrive on. So the idea of it, we could have greater faith if we could see Him, touch Him, taste Him, feel Him, have lived with Him, is true. But you know what gives God pleasure? I mean, gives God real pleasure. Same thing that Enoch gave Him so much pleasure that he actually transliterated Him, took Him into heaven, and gave Him in a glorified body. But without faith, this is what is written immediately after he spoke of Enoch, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, how do you diligently seek Him? Can't see Him. Right there on that screen. Those are His words. You seek Him through the Word, which is the Word of life. And that's how you can tell whether somebody is a follower of the Lord. If you're coming down here because you enjoy what you see on that screen and the exposition and understanding of it, you come to church for the right reason, and you'll continue to come to the right for the right reason, and you don't need programs, parties, potluck, what one deacon out in California called the three P's. He said there's three things a church needs, and this really he did say. He said they need programs, parties, and potluck. And if you get enough programs, have enough parties, and have enough potluck, you can keep people in church. It'll be a warm, close, personal, intimate, physical fellowship. Well, we need spiritual fellowship. And spiritual fellowship is what we have in the Word of God. He said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Okay? Now he's gone. He did what he said. He said, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He's referring principally and praying specifically for those first New Testament churchmen. You say, well, that doesn't really apply to us. Why not? Are we not a product of His Spirit through the teaching that He gave to them by inspiration as they wrote? Are we not a New Testament church? Were they not a New Testament church? Do we not now have the same empowerment that descended on them at Pentecost? Are we not a New Testament church? Does Jesus not abide in the midst of us? Why is He here in the midst of us? His Spirit's here. It's here. He's here in spirit. And now, He's ascended above, and it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are nothing, and they are life. Right now, Jesus is here. This is one of His churches. You say, well, if it's not one of His churches, is He in the midst of them? No. You say, well, where is He in churches like that? Well, in all these churches, there are some people that are saved, except maybe in wild ones like Jehovah's Witness. There might even be some saved in there. But He indwells each believer separately. And you go to heaven if He indwells you, if you've been born again. But in the church that teaches and preaches the truth, He's there in spirit. And he enjoys seeing His Word preached. He gets pleasure out of hearing it presented. I imagine sometimes, and I say this reverently, Lord, He grits His teeth when we misinterpret it And God knows, in the 30 years I've been here, you all, if any of you have been with me the whole time, you know I've misinterpreted Scripture before. But you know, the same Spirit that I wouldn't listen to or was in ignorance about, I told you when I was wrong. I've just come back and said, I was wrong. This is the way I interpret that, and I was wrong. I've discovered that people appreciate that a lot more than some fellow say thinks he's always right. The Holy Spirit's the only one that's right. So why wouldn't God keep us to his own name? Why can't we be one as he is? That's talking about a fellowship. It's talking about a fellowship that begins here with the Lord after you're saved in one of his local churches. Where are these fellows now? They were his first church. Man, they're right where he is. Peter, James, John, all of them. They're right where he is. Their souls are there with him in his immediate presence. Well, where are all those that were faithful in his local New Testament churches down through the ages? Where are those who thought his word was important? Where are those who wanted to learn from him, to be a partaker of him? Where are those people? They're in his immediate presence. You say, well, what about all those people that got saved and just didn't see any sense in having direct, personal, close, intimate fellowship with him in a local church? Well, they're in heaven. They see him. They're not set off in some purgatory somewhere, and it's wonderful. But those men right there in his immediate presence. So where do you think you'll be when you arrive in heaven? You want to be in his immediate presence? You want to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with him in the millennial reign and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? You better do it now. Because this is where the fellowship begins with the Lord after we get saved. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about where you live in proximity to him when you get there. He said this to the church, and he meant it. A local church that traveled with him. We're a local church. He's empowered us. We have the same Spirit in our church that came down upon that at Pentecost, empowering them. We are empowered. He is among us. How do I know? We teach his word. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. He did. He watched over, and he protected them, and he kept them. Doesn't he keep us? Listen, except the Lord build the house, it will not stand. You know why this church is still here? Because our master is the head of it, the foundation of it, and he watches over us, and he protects us. He watches and keeps us. We ought to thank God for this special blessing because he is our head. He is our foundation. He is of every church that preaches and teaches his word. When churches stop teaching and preaching his word, his spirit leaves it. They may have been in their early part of their existence a scriptural church. The Lord may have watched over it and protected it just like he does this church. But when they started teaching and preaching false doctrine, and when they tore their hearts away from the awareness of the Lord's presence in the midst of them, and began to try to help God by changing his plan into a program, party, potluck-oriented social gathering, then his spirit left that church. And so it's my continual prayer that by the grace of God, as long as I'm your pastor, I'll continue to preach the truth concerning especially salvation, baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, and the fact that the church is local and visible and not universal. A lot of you think you're here by choice. In a sense, you are. But you're here because God meant for you to be here. We didn't get Brother Shipley by accident. He's a good deacon. And he knows the truth. And when he left Russellville Church, for a good reason. He looked around for a while, and he didn't come here because I'm Mr. Popular, but because I'm highly recommended by all the pastors in this area. He came here because he recognizes the truth, and he believes the truth about salvation, baptism, the church, and the Lord's Supper, and he loves the Word. God brought him here. You say, you don't know that? Oh, yes, I do. He did. He brought them all here. And he watches over and superintends in our lives. He didn't bring Landell down here by accident. Landell and Velma were attracted by the Word. Neither is Kay here by accident. Neither is Kim. Neither is Anna Mae. Neither is Shirley. Neither are you, Geraldine. Neither are you, Teresa. As a matter of fact, none of you here by accident. Now, what you're going to do while you're here is between you and the Lord. But this is the place of fellowship with God. We teach and preach the gospel. People get saved. Some get baptized, and some stay. He said, I didn't lose a one of them. It's my prayer that God doesn't lose a one of you. And the only one he lost was the son of perdition. And he knew what was in Judas Iscariot's heart. Judas Iscariot went down to John and was baptized. But Judas Iscariot never repented of what he was as a sinner and never followed Jesus as a saved man. He followed Jesus because he thought that Jesus was going to suddenly declare himself king and bring in the kingdom. But God chose him. Because God fulfills his own scriptures by his own power. Oh, it wasn't because God decided, well, I'm going to let this man be lost and he's going to be sent to hell, so I'll just pick him out to go in there. Judas Iscariot made a choice. I don't believe in predestination as far as Calvinism is concerned. But God knew the choice Judas Iscariot would make. But Judas made it. And God picked him so that a scripture could be fulfilled that was written. God fulfills his own scriptures by his own power and by his own authority. And no matter what you and I say, and no matter what men do or how they react or what plans or programs they come up with, God's going to fulfill his own scripture by his own power. Oh, it's not unusual to have lost people in church. As a matter of fact, we have had down through the years, and that's one reason I'm so thankful for Brother Shipley. I've been in churches where God knows alone, and I'm not their judge, but I would swear some of those deacons didn't even know the Lord, not by the conduct and the way they treated people and the way they reacted toward other people. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But Brother Shipley does, and Brother Shipley knows the truth. And I thank God we don't have any of those deacons in this church. Some churches have. And I pray for the pastors in those churches because, man, there's nothing more horrifying than having a lost deacon sitting on a church pew, and you've been given the responsibility to teach him the Word of God, and he has no idea what you're talking about because he is not indwelt by the Spirit of God. But God fulfilled his prophecy, and Judas Iscariot betrayed him. And now come I to thee, and these things that I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've mentioned this many times. I've heard Kenneth mention it. I've heard many other preachers mention it. And it's absolutely true. When the Emmaus disciples were going down the road, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared with them and walking alongside with them, and they looked over at him, and he was saying, you know, why are you so sad? And they said, dost thou not know? And they told him about the story of how their master had been crucified. And now they were beside themselves because they had no leader. And then he said, don't you understand why all this was done? And then he started to open the scriptures to them. It says, and he opened to them the scriptures. And he began to declare to them from Genesis up to that present time what the Messiah was, about his resurrection, and everything. And then they went in and they supped, and he kept on teaching them. And suddenly he disappeared from before their eyes. And after he left, here's what they said. Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures? Well, what about it, Teresa? Isn't this exciting? Isn't it wonderful to be come out of darkness and to be saved and to learn the truth and to start seeing it on screen? I tell you, this is a blessing. It's a rare blessing. It's a magnificent blessing just to know what God's Word says. They may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. A lot of pastors never do get this joy fulfilled in them. They just don't. They're so busy trying to build a church, so busy trying to increase its membership, so busy trying to be accepted, that they never do have a real joy and intensity for God's Word, and they don't feed the flock. He told Peter three times. He asked him if he loved him. And he said, feed my little lamb. Feed my full-grown lambs. And feed them both. Why? Because in a born-again heart, this is the joy of understanding who your master is, who the head of the church is, who the foundation of the church is. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You want to be popular in Darnell community? You want to be well-liked in this area? You want to be popular in the ecumenical world? Don't join this church. You want to be accepted? Join another Baptist church that's accepted, that doesn't teach and preach the truth. The people sit there and have no idea that Christ is in the midst of it. You say, well, I don't know of a church like that. When this church right down the road split here, the one we don't exchange letters with, First Baptist, I understand they told me 30. Quite frankly, I've got reservations about that. I think it's probably a less number. But they told me 30 families left that church and went across the street to the Methodist church and joined it. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen. There are lots of saved people in the Methodist church. And there are lots of Methodists that are saved, that are going to heaven. But there is no way under heaven that God would accept sprinkling or a teaching of those people that are saved that they can lose what they have. That's wrong. And so they went across the street. Now, and joined a church that teaches and preaches that. I have nothing against the Methodists, but I have a great deal against what they teach. And you've got to make up your mind whether you want to be accepted in this community. You want to be popular in this community? Go join First Baptist. Go join the Catholic Church. Go join the Methodist Church. Why? Go join the Presbyterian Church. That's where your business leaders all go, where religion is a form of convenience. You want to be popular? You don't belong in this church, because you're not going to be popular. You're going to be looked upon as narrow-minded, bigoted. They hated them. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, and they hate us because they are not of the world. We are not of the world. We've been called out of the world. We've been set apart by scriptural baptism, not saved, but set apart from the world. We've made up our minds we want to serve God, even as I am not of the world. We're supposed to be Christ-like. You can't be Christ-like and follow all these false teachings. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. He didn't want the disciples taken out of the world. He wanted them to stay there and witness. But thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Well, he prayed and asked that God would keep them from the evil. Okay, what are we supposed to do? He told this same group of men in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof." Every day ask God to deliver you from the evil thereof. Every day get up in the morning and ask Him to get you through the day in a way that pleases you. Pray and ask Him, and ask Him to deliver you from the evil. The Lord prayed for you. God will hear your prayer. Then He said something about this First New Testament church that ought to be true of us. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Okay, so I'm saved. Okay, so I'm scripturally baptized. Okay, so I'm the pastor of Dardanell Missionary Baptist Church. Now, what's supposed to be happening to me for the rest of my life? What's supposed to be happening to you for the rest of your life if you're a member of this church? Hagiso, sanctified, set apart. Set them apart from what? The world, the ways of the world. Listen, the world loves religion. Most of the people in this town belong to some church. The world is full of religion, but they don't teach the truth. And they're not set apart from the ways of the world because that word is truth. We teach the truth here. Paul said, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth." He says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, so have I also sent them into the world." Okay? That's what we're supposed to do. It all gets down to this. Are we supposed to get out on a bicycle and get out there and get on fire for Jesus, knock on every door in town? If that's what you want to do, have at it. And I don't say that facetiously. It sounds like I do, but I don't. Just go out there and knock on every door and say, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" Just get all excited and on fire for the Lord and go out there and witness to everybody in the county. You say, "Well, you're being facetious." No. Go ahead and do it. I don't mind. But what about just showing them that you love the Lord, that you love the truth, that you love this church? And how about just telling people they need to come down and be with you? Come down and worship with us. Come down and be among us. What about just living a quiet, gentle, peaceful, loving life? I don't ever recall Jesus looking over at Peter and saying, "See that one back there in the back, the one that's got a little funny nose? I think if we don't do something, he's going to fall through the cracks." And going back there and making sure that fellow didn't fall through the cracks. Jesus just preached and taught the word of God to a group of men, taught them how to live, and then sent them out to tell others about how wonderful he was. Tell people how wonderful Jesus is. That's great. But don't try to take them down a Roman road. Don't make them car sick. Don't give them point one, point two, point three, point four. You say, "Well, a lot of people have been saved that way." And a lot of those people aren't in church. You say, "Well, thank God they're going to heaven." Well, I realize that, and I'm thankful for it. But it's a whole lot easier to go out and be a live wire than it is to just let Jesus have his way and to listen to his word. And if God gives you opportunity, can't God's Spirit give you opportunity? Are you having a problem with that? God's Spirit will give you opportunity when he gets good and ready. Then if you know the word, you can take advantage of it. That way the Holy Spirit's the one who does the deciding when, where, if, what, why. You say, "But now we don't need to do that. We need to just get on fire for Jesus. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Make disciples." You don't have to be a live wire. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's what they did. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what we do here. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's what we do here. You say, "Well, you need some programs. You need to be a live wire. You need to learn the Roman road. You need to just get out there and get on fire for Jesus." Yeah, we can do that. We can build up the building. And then in a few months, it'll explode. Maybe a few years. And then the people will be scattered all over the place. And Jesus will probably have left the church because we will have departed into heresy because we just keep trying to build more and more. Well, it's a quarter till. And since I'm not trying to build more and more, you all can have a coffee break.